Thank you, Mr. Flamin. Good afternoon, everyone. How many of you here have been at one time or another in your life in a formal state of alarm or on a watch? Some of our military probably have had that experience. Also, some of us may have experienced states of alarm or crisis in our lives before. We've undoubtedly been in a building that had a fire alarm go off or heard the tornado siren and wondered, you know, if it's real or if it's a warning or where the storm is or what channel is the weather channel again, those type of things. Well, I had an interesting occurrence happen to me a few weeks back. My mother-in-law was in town, and it was over the 4th of July, and our air conditioner was struggling that day. It was 100 degrees that day. And later on that evening, I'd noticed that the air conditioner wasn't able to keep up with the desired temperature that I had set the gauge for. So later in the evening, after everyone was asleep, the fire alarm went off in our house. And it went off for probably about 10, 15 seconds and stopped. But it was about 1 in the morning when that happened. So I shot up, went down, you know, started looking around the house. And my wife got up, went to Gracie's room, make sure that she hadn't burst into flames or anything like that. And I proceeded to go to every level of the house, checking things out, walked around the circumference of the house, making sure I didn't see any smoke coming from anywhere. We didn't see anything, so I went back up to go to bed. And as I got to the top of the stairs, it just smelled like that kind of ironing smell or maybe a curling iron smell, heat, a little bit of heat at the top of the stairs. And we had all had our bedroom doors closed, so the heat of the house was going up there. So I thought, I wonder if that means something's going on in the attic or what. But after probably 30, 45 minutes of running around, laid back down, went to sleep. And probably 5 minutes after getting back in bed, it went off again. And this proceeded to go on for probably the next 3 hours. So, you know, at one point I thought, okay, I think it's the one downstairs that's going off first. So I sat for quite a while at the stairs leading down to the basement. And it was just a duel between me and this smoke detector in the basement to see who was going to outlast the other. So I sat there and I had thoughts like, you know, about watches, how there's, you know, the multiple watches through the night. And I thought about the 10 virgins, the parable of the 10 virgins, and these different things. Well, ultimately, the smoke detector won the battle. I went back to bed, probably about 5 in the morning now. Of course, it goes off within 10 minutes. Even though I had sat for an hour waiting for it, goes off again. So finally I thought, you know what, I bet this is a battery problem. I pulled the battery out of it, went back to bed, and we didn't hear any more from it. Usually it doesn't happen when the battery goes bad. Usually you hear a chirp. So that's what kind of confused us about it. But the point of the story is that it is difficult to stay in a state of alert or watch for a long period of time. We can easily become fatigued or dull or sleepy. For long-timers in the church and those who grew up in it, we have been on watch for Christ's return for quite some time. And over the years, some have put too much emphasis on watching for only the prophetic events leading up to Christ's return. Even today, amongst a couple of the churches of God, there are far too many sermons about the 1,335 days or the 1,290 days or the 1,260 days rather than being Christ-like. It is good and necessary for the called of God to be aware of the events that are going to lead up to the return of Christ. However, if our focus as Christians is so farsighted that we're looking so far out all the time, then we are at risk of falling into the big pothole that's in the near ground, aren't we? Time and time again in the Bible, we are cautioned to watch. Today, I'd like to look at what it means to be watchful. We'll see that it is more than just tracking world events and being aware of prophecy. Being watchful is much more of a spiritual state or condition. In the New Testament, those who followed Christ were told, by my count, 14 different times in the New Testament to watch. 11 of those were Jesus himself. Of course, these are different accounts. He probably didn't say it quite 11 times, but there's that many accounts of it. He gives us some reasons for why we should watch. He tells us that we need to watch because we don't know the hour that he is going to return. He tells us to watch so that we don't fall into temptation. He also tells us to watch because some of us will be taken before rulers and kings to testify of Christ. And we are told that we need to watch so we can be counted worthy to escape the events that are going to come, so that we can stand before him. Obviously, watch is an important warning. Let's take a look at three different ways to see exactly how we are instructed to be watchful. The first way that we are instructed to be watchful is by the phrase, watch and be ready. Please turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 24, verse 42. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. This, of course, is where Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, overlooking Jerusalem, talking with his disciples and telling them about the things that were going to transpire before his return. We'll jump into verse 42 here. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Verse 47. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. And he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Greek word here for watch in verse 42 literally means to keep awake. The word in verse 44 for ready literally means fitness. We are told to keep awake and be in a state of fitness or readiness as we watch for Christ. Jesus then asks the question, who then is a faithful and wise steward? Those watching for Christ in a state of readiness will be behaving in a manner that is faithful to his or her master. The faithful will be, quote, so doing when Christ returns. We see here that the evil servant of the master has also been watching, most likely for an extended period of time. However, the evil servant's actions do not equate with what he was professing with his mouth. That's what makes him a hypocrite here. He was judged as a hypocrite. Hypocrite, literally actor, the word actor. But to be a hypocrite, he was probably still looking like he was trying to be with the program still. He was probably still acting as if he was with the program. His actions did not exhibit faithfulness spiritually. Christ asked the question, will he find faith on earth when he returns? The fitness and readiness we each must have involves us faithfully serving Christ, which is reflected by our actions now. This faith requires spiritual fitness and readiness. We are probably all familiar with the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. And we are told that all 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. That means that all of them were, in effect, on watch to go meet the bridegroom. All 10 physically slept while they were on watch, because it does get easy to go to sleep and become dull and become wearied by an extended watch. They were possibly waiting for quite some time while that went on. But only 5 of the 10 were spiritually ready for Christ's return, these having their lamps full of oil, symbolizing the Holy Spirit. We see it isn't enough to just watch and wait for Christ. Even the evil servant may have started out having a full lamp, but he didn't maintain that lamp. Each of us is expected to have our own lamp full by the utilization of the Holy Spirit in our lives continually in readiness as we watch. Let's see one additional aspect here required for us to be in a state of watchful readiness. In verse 50 of Matthew 24, where we just were, Christ says, "The master will come on a day when the servant is not looking for him." The Greek word for looking for here literally means to anticipate in thought and in hope. Do each of us live each day anticipating the return of Christ in thought and in hope? Let's take a look at what this anticipation looks like by turning with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 130, verse 5. Psalm chapter 130 and verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I do hope. Verse 6. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. The psalmist reflects an absolutely real anticipation for the return of anticipation for the Lord. We need to have this same kind of anticipation each day in thought and hope. It is part of the spiritual readiness that we each need to have as we wait and watch for Christ's return. The second way that we are instructed to be truly watchful is to watch and pray. Even in Nehemiah's time, when Judah came back out of captivity, when they were working on rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, those who were going to be doing the building, they first made prayer to God, and then they set a watch. Let's look at a few other instances in Scripture where we are told to link the two. In Mark's account of the Olivet Prophecy, we won't turn to Mark, I'll just quote it here, Jesus says, "Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is." Let's turn to Luke's account of that same prophecy and turn to Luke 21, verse 34. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus tells his disciples here to take heed, or in other words, to pay attention to ourselves. He warns them and us as well not to allow sin or the cares of this life to get in the way of our own personal spiritual fitness or readiness. Christ's remedy to help us avoid being led astray by the cares of this life is to have a vibrant personal relationship with our Creator through prayer. Our own personal relationship with God needs to be flourishing through regular and meaningful prayer, of course. This will allow us to be close to God, which will help in our spiritual watchfulness. It's an important, vital element. Let's take a look at an example of Jesus urging his disciples to watch and pray by turning with me to Matthew 26, verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Just before this passage, Peter had just told Christ that he would not deny him. Verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." We see here the importance of incorporating prayer and watchfulness by Christ's own example. Verse 37, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed and said, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" They may not have fully understood the state of alarm that they should have been in here. And they may not have understood that Christ was actually going to be captured. He had always eluded and escaped from trouble prior to this. So they may not have really... they may not have really bought into it. But Jesus tells the disciples to watch and pray lest they enter into temptation. The flesh is weak and cannot be depended on for watchfulness. The disciples weren't spiritually prepared here for what was to come. Of course, they didn't have the Holy Spirit at this point, but they also seemingly didn't pray, or if they did, it was not too long before they drifted off to sleep, so they weren't in a state of readiness. And it seems reasonable to surmise that their spiritual lack of readiness could have been improved had they prayed. Peter was so spiritually ill-prepared for what was to come. Of course, he cut off the ear of the servant to the high priest. He reacted very carnally with violence. This behavior was the furthest possible thing from Christ's teaching that he could have done. We too can fall into very carnal behavior if we aren't staying close to God in prayer, as I'm sure we know. We need a close personal relationship with God in addition to his Holy Spirit working in us to be able to watch effectively. If we are not watching and praying, any of us could enter into temptation and go badly off track. Let's look at the third element needed to be effectively watchful by turning with me to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Earlier in this chapter, Paul has just told the Thessalonian church that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. However, he tells them that they are not in darkness so that they should not be overtaken. Let's pick it up in verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. He then goes on to talk about being preserved blameless at the coming of Christ. The third element introduced here to us is to, in order to be truly watchful, is to be sober. The word for sober here means to abstain. We know sobriety as the opposite of drunkenness. But Paul is talking about much more than just drunkenness here. He's speaking very similarly to Christ when Christ said to his disciples, "Don't let your hearts be weighed down or burdened by the cares of this life." Paul makes his meaning clear here in verse 22 when he says, we are to abstain from every form of evil. Those who are truly watchful will be eliminating any practice of evil in their lives. We will replace practicing evil with practicing good. We begin that, of course, even prior to conversion, but certainly at conversion. This is done by putting on faith and love, as Paul tells us. It's done by having the hope of salvation as a reality in our lives. It's done by removing unruliness, as he states here, by being at peace with one another, here and outside of here. And it's done by putting the cares of God ahead of the cares of this life. Doing these things is what sober living is really all about, spiritually. And watching with sobriety is a necessary element in being effectively watchful. As I just discussed, included in this idea of abstaining from evil is the need to replace those behaviors with godly behaviors. Let's see this idea eloquently expressed in Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. Just prior to this verse, the psalmist refers to the fact that our days on earth are fleeting and mentions 70 years, maybe if we're lucky, 80 years in most cases. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Talking here of the nation of Israel. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I like the expression, establish the work of our hands. According to Strong's Hebrew and Greek dictionary, work here means actions. And the word for hand indicates an open hand, which denotes strength and also direction. Asking God to establish the work of our hands is really asking him to direct our actions to become his actions. Are we asking God to do this in our lives today? God establishing the work of our hands to become the works of godliness is how we abstain from practicing evil. This is key to watching and being sober. I think each of us understands the importance of being watchful as the end times draw nearer. However, Christ meant more than just being focused on the physical events leading up to his return. Christ desires those watching for him to be working at spiritual readiness and anticipation. He desires us to be watchful in prayer, concentrating on developing a close personal relationship with God. He also desires us to watch and be sober, not only abstaining from the evils of this world, but having a godly direction and godly actions, allowing him to establish the work of our hands. Let's watch and be ready, watch and pray, and watch and be sober.